Jason, care for a rub down?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah, g'day rubbers. Welcome back to the Weekly Rubdown. It's time for a little bit of waiver wire dribble for round 19. So, Wooker, what's going on, mate?
Mate, ready to rip in. Fuck, Origin, crazy.
Done.
And, mate, wasn't there some injuries in the round? Just gone. Jesus. There are some people who have just torn up the draft for this season, and they're preparing for next season.
100%. And with that in mind, let's crack a Tony Tinicello here and just cheers to all those that are starting to study for their NFL draft because Ryan Pappenhausen is now out for the season.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh. It's real rough.
It happens to the best of us. We've all been there. So condolences, unlucky. But them's the breaks, mate. Them's the breaks. But yeah, plenty of injuries with the State of Origin, mate. Fucking blokes were dropping like flies at the start of that. And obviously there's been a bit of a ripple effect because of those concussions, especially with Selwyn Cobbo. And then, plenty of injuries in round 18, which we'll get to in a minute. But let's do a little bit of a recap of last week's waiver wire dribble. So a few of the plug and plays that we threw out absolutely killed it. We said,
We had more hits than the Beatles. It was fucking unreal.
Just call us the fucking jukebox, baby. So Wonga Blake, 68, thanks for coming. Even Marcelo Montoya, I said, look, the left wing, he's worth a shout. He's worth an ATS. He gets 58. Jason Saab has to be our best call of the week with 121. He was sitting at like 15% ownership or something ridiculous like that. So hopefully everybody got on him and fired him up. We also said go start up Jordan Piera and Deloise Hoyter. Both of those guys put out a good performance with a 79 and a 59 respectively. And then Teague Wilton, 76. So, I mean, fuck me, did we miss at all?
Mate, we took them down hard. Look, there's obviously a few good ones, but like it is every week, we'll be going through the plug-in plays again because they're not going to be the same.
No, exactly, and it's all to do with matchups with your plug-in plays. When we say plug-in plays, it's just guys that you can probably pick up on your free agents, plug for one round because of the matchup, and it's going to get you a decent score because most likely we've identified that they're going to score a try. Ooh, got spicy flu there, champ. What's going on there?
Yeah, mate. It's
searching for a bit of time off work.
Just a little tickle on the throat. You know how it is.
All right, and then waiver, our top claims for the week. So we had Jaden Brayley. He played 80 minutes, so his first 80-minute game since he's been back from injury. Only got 39 points, but it was a weird game.
Dreadful performance.
Weird game. So
yeah, it wasn't his typical game.
No, it was wild. We had Blake Laurie. He played 45 minutes for 36 points, but another game that was quite weird up against the Roosters where it was just all attack. They didn't bring their shoulder pads, and that one no one wanted to defend at all. So definitely not the
type. There was no points through the guts at all.
Definitely not the type of game that Blake Laurie is used to for his base work that he gets through. Zach Hoskin, nice little plug and play there, 68 points. He did his job. Now you can flick him. Sean O'Sullivan, we said one of the best plug-and-play options for that round up against the Tigers. He got 80 points. Thanks for coming. Kieran Foran, continually just pumping out, you know, semi-decent score. Got a 53.
Under the radar scores, aren't they?
I would fire him up again this week as well. He's very matchup dependent here with Foz. I like him. Kyle Felt got 63. He's probably just sitting over that 35. Last time I looked, I think he was 36% ownership. So if he's out there, fuck, go grab him on that right edge for the Cowboys. Wow. Especially this week against the Tigers. He could bag a triple in round 19. And then Xavier Savage, obviously a hard game up against the Storm with 28 points, but he did look likely for the most of the game. So that was last week. I'm going to hit us with some injuries quickly because fuck me.
Do we have enough time?
I'm still alive, but I'm very badly injured.
Yep. Little Puppy, gone. Billy Smith, gone. Satili Tupanua, gone. Sione Katoa, gone. Then we've got C.Y. Takiaho with a fractured cheekbone. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Moses Suli, I haven't seen much about his injury. It's an ankle injury. It looks like it might be syndesmosis, so there's a few weeks out there for him.
Yeah, it kind of happened off camera. So yeah. The ref was, the sideline touch judge was running past the cameras.
Cup was in the way. Get out of the way, fuck. We're trying. The physio, Brian, needs to do his work.
Exactly.
Dom Young had a bit of a rib tickler. He's named in the reserve, so one to watch there. Fox had a tear in his glute or something like that. He has been named, but he's definitely one to watch.
I probably wouldn't be expecting him to play. No. He might sit out at least a week, but at least it's not season ending. They were a bit worried about that one.
Yeah, exactly. And then Joey Manu, the beast that is fucking Joey Manu, the super coach god at the moment. He's been seen with icing his calf. He may be rested this week, so definitely keep an eye on team lists closer to game time for the Roosters and Joey Manu. And then Jordan Rapana, he's been suspended. So they're all the outs coming into round 19. Woo-hoo-hoo, baby. Yeah.
And look, off the back of those, I've got four big team lists Tuesday notes.
Talk to me, son.
So Haas is back. It's huge. Huge for owners. Another huge thing is Walsh being benched. That actually is a bit of a shift in the spine then, because CHT, Harris DeVito, moves into fullback, and that opens up a spot for Dejan Arzi.
Do you know what's weird about that? The weirdest thing about that is, yep, they're benching a guy that won't be there next year in Walsh, but neither will CHT. So
exactly, and I kind of understand that. Maybe it's to give Dejan Arzi a bit of a go and a bit of a shake-up in their attack, but fuck, if you're going to be doing that, just bench CHT.
100%. If you're going to play anyone at fullback, play Walsh. Yeah, weird. No, exactly. I don't know what they're doing there.
And the big one is replacing Tupanuru is Nat Butcher. So we've seen what he can do in the past. He's a really good ball runner. And, yeah, he's been playing well, obviously reduced minutes at the time. So the other one is Connor Tracy. He's in for Sione Katoa.
Well, that's good. That's
juicy. I've watched this space because depending on how he plays in the next few weeks, in the lead up to the finals, they might be looking at Ikavalu. Now, Connor Tracy plays pretty good on the left side, but I'm just not sure whether that's going to translate to the right side.
Well, he has filled in for Jesse Ramien at times when he's been suspended or injured. Yeah,
in centre, for sure.
He's just one of those players that can fucking play anywhere. Put him front row. Connor Tracy will fucking make 21 runs up the guts. The cunt is loose.
Yeah, and it's a bit of prime real estate on that edge as well. So they'll always go attack both of the edges. Yep. So Mulitalo and, well, Katoa's old edge. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, if he's on waivers or free agents, you've got to go for him. Because he fills that 5-8 spot as well.
Exactly, bro. No, I like those. All right, man, let's get to rubbing these claims.
This fucks up my plan. This is fucking bullshit.
I got to do something here. I still can't believe it.
Help me. Help you.
I'm not sure what to do with my hand.
The rest of you made the team. Except you, and you.
So, as we did last week, we are going to go through each game for round 19. We're going to talk about the ins, the outs, the waiver claims that we like, the free agents, the plug and plays, and then we'll jot them down into a bit of a list that we'll go through in the happy ending. We'll go through each position and give you our top claims for each position, and then sum it all up with our favorites out of all of those. So first up, we'll talk about the Eels-Broncos game. So like you were saying earlier, Wooker, Big Haas is back, Carrigan's back in the fray. You've got Corey Oates returning. Jordan Pereira is still there. Obviously, you know, Selwyn Cobbo is still struggling with that concussion protocol. But
I think he's probably only going to be another week or two out. So, this is the type of game that you'd fire up Pereira in.
Because
obviously the Eels have been leaking heaps of points on their edges. So,
yep. And it's both the wingers as well. So they are weak. The Eels, they're weak on their right for scoring tries. So, you know, Corey Oates is up for a big one, but also for Supercoach, they're weak on the other edge. So Jordan Pereira is up for a big one. But Pereira, just amazing.
Sivo was a man possessed in defense last round. So it'd be interesting if he backs it up or whether it was just a bit of a flash in the pan.
Yeah, for sure. And then we've got Ryan Madison returning for the Eels. But as far as claims go, nothing's really jumping out at me here. I do like you said, Pereira as a plug and play this week. But other than that, man, it's pretty stock standard.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other injuries is Walters has a bit of a hip injury, so Turpin comes into the starting lineup. But then you've got Corey Pakes on the bench as well as Kobe Etherington. So, look, I wouldn't be really touching any of those guys with a barge pole.
No, that's it. Look, I don't know what the percentage is for Tessie New. 65%. Yeah, look, if he's out there, he's definitely worth a pickup. But, yeah, most people have picked him up. All right, let's get into the next game, Dragons-Eagles. So, yeah, there is some value to be had here, especially the Eagles. Jason Saab, he's still sitting below that 35% ownership. He needs to be in teams. He needs to be in a CTW rotation. For example, firing him up last week and firing him up again this week against the Dragons. He'll go well. Toletau Kola is worth a pickup as well. He's sitting pretty low ownership.
He's 35.9%, so he's available. Same with Tua Pilato is there as well, and he's got an average of about 50. So he's always on the end of a few attacking raids on that right side.
They're playing well. They're playing really well. A guy that I'm really interested in is Andrew Davey. Now, he has put together two 80-minute performances back-to-back, which means, I don't know what the fuck Schuster's doing, but he's playing 80. Actually, he's put together, I'm just looking at it, it's even more. So he's played since round 13, he's gone 80, 80, 73, 80, 80. Andrew Davey has.
And he's completely under the radar. He's 6.9% owned. So he's almost unlikely to get picked by anyone this round. He's got a season average of 41. So he is going to be under the radar.
Five round average of 61.
Yeah.
I think like he's a great pickup.
From round 13, he's gone a 67, 55, 39, 59, and then an 85. So, mate, you can bank on some fucking good performances there.
I'm definitely big on him. He'll be one of the top two RF claims this week. I think he's got a pretty good run as well. Dragons, Roosters, Eels, Titans, Sharks, Raiders, Dogs for the rest of the year. That's not bad. I've definitely seen worse. So do like Andrew Davey there. Other than him, mate, anyone else you like in this game? The Dragons, not much to see there. Obviously, Moses Sully is out, but Moses Mbai, you going to pick him up this week?
No. He's dead to me, and he has been for a few seasons. But one that's a little bit interesting is I think they're resting Jake Trbojevic. So coming in at the lock spot is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, Sipley.
Just big toe Sipley.
Yeah, but I think an increase in minutes will happen to Dylan Walker. So he might be worth a bit of a plug and play this round because I think he'll be playing a bit of that link man role, that second hooker sort of situation. So I think he's definitely going to be one of those guys that could have an uptick in performance this round.
Schuster owners would have been going, yes, Trbojevic is out. Surely they put Josh Schuster in there at 13. You know, he's a six. He wants to be a six. He's playing edge back row. 13's a perfect spot for him. Nope, they're not going to do that. And like I said, they'll probably play Dylan Walker at 13 more than they'll play Josh Schuster in this game.
I'm actually surprised that they've gone Sipley instead of Tapau. So Tapau's still riding the bench at the moment. And look, Tapau's played a little bit of lock here and there in his career. So, yeah.
Mate, Schuster. Fucking Schuster.
Yeah, I know.
The dude's a ball player. Fuck me. It's wild. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. Seriously, he's done something wrong. He's fucked someone's daughter for sure.
That's what happens when you turn up when you're about 2 stone overweight.
Yeah. Josh Schuster, the beast who ate Josh Schuster. Next game, Knights Roosters. So we've got a few ins and outs here. Like we said, watch Joey Manu to see if he plays. Luke Keary's back in this side. We've got big Jared Warrior Hardgraves back in, partnering Matt Lodge in the front row. What a scary fucking front row that is.
Yeah.
Huge.
And I guess both of those guys will be getting a bit of minutes because they've only got Butcher and May that'll really spell them. So
exactly. Yeah, they're carrying Connor Watson, Andrew Hutchinson on the bench. So that's a great shout. I think Matt Lodge is a really good pickup for front row.
Huge pickup this week.
I do like that. As you said earlier, Nat Butcher, if he's available out there in leagues, you need to go get him. Satili is out for the year, which means you'll probably see Nat Butcher play 80-minute games for the rest of the season. That's yum. He was putting together some great scores when he was playing edge back role and getting big minutes. So I love him. That's
would
about
you would
it.
You have a would you have a stab at Momorowski now that his spot's pretty well certain now that Billy Smith's out?
I like him as a plug and play this week up against the Knights. Obviously, he's going to be playing left center. We know the Knights' right edge is absolutely atrocious, so I love him as a plug and play this week. But he definitely is a CTW that I'd be rotating or picking up and dropping, just depending on the matchups that the Roosters are coming up against. Because we've seen a huge shift, and we talked about this last week with the Roosters' attack favoring that right. Like you see Sam Walker on the weekend, he would stop, pivot, and kick towards Suwali every fucking time. I mean, why wouldn't you? Seriously, it works every time, but it just means guys on the left are getting a little bit left out. But when you're coming up against oppositions like the Knights that just leak points like nobody's business, yeah, Mommy is definitely a good start.
But how about, like, the options that Sammy Walker does have on either wing? You got Tupu or Buddy Suwali, two of the best jumpers in the game.
Isn't it crazy that Daniel Tupu is the second best guy under a high ball at that club?
Yeah.
Crazy. Now, for the Knights, you've got Nari Tuala in there at center for best. Heimel Hunt is in there for Dom Young. Neither of those guys tickle my taint. Other than that, I love that Mitch Marner is moving back to the 13. I think that's great. Lachlan Fitzgibbon is a pickup. I think he's decent. You're going to get 50 to 55 out of him if you're struggling at 2RF. Definitely if you're
the one concern I have about Barnett moving in 13 is Kurt Mann. He's back. So he might be you having a bit of reduced minutes.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you've got Mitch Barnett. There's not much you can do about it. You keep him. But exactly. Lachlan Fitzgibbon is the name there that we need to sort of highlight. Him coming back, playing 80 minutes, that's what you want. Other than that, mate, anything else in these two teams?
No, not really. Tyson Frizzell came off with a bit of an injury. Yeah, he hasn't really performed that well in the last month or so. But, I don't think he's really someone you can get any value for in a trade. So you just got to pick and stick.
Exactly. Yeah, no go there. All right, let's get into the Raiders-Warriors game. So, yeah, we talked about CHC playing fullback for the Warriors. We've got Dejan Arce playing six. So a couple of guys there that are going to be available on waivers. I'm not really excited about any Warriors players. I'd more be looking for some pickups on the Raiders side. So the Warriors are terrible against wingers, both wingers. So early on in the season, they were just leaking tries like nobody's business to right wings. And then of late, over the last six or seven rounds, it's been the left wing that's been firing up. So I don't mind Nick Kotrick as a pickup here. Even Albert Hopewadi as a nice little plug and play there. Anyone for the Raiders really is in for a big game. Xavier Savage, if he's out there, he needs to be in teams. But other than that, I'm just looking at this team. It's about really.
I think DWZ might be worth a bit of a shout as an ATS, just because the Raiders do concede a little bit down that edge with Kotrick coming back. So look, I'm going to have him in one of my multis just as an ATS. But yeah, I think he'd be worth a plug and play maybe.
Yeah, he is a great ATS shout because whenever the Warriors score, it usually is down that right edge. But yeah, Tohu Harris back at front row again, which is Josh Curran in back row, which is fucked, and Jester Fager at 13. All right, let's move on if there's nothing else there.
Speaking of things that are fucked, Horsbrough still out. So he was out with virus last week and he's again not named. I'm in a bit of Barney Rubble, actually.
I saw your work on the waiver as well because you waivered for AFB, then you dropped Corey Horsbrough, and then I think you Then you waive it again for Jaden Brayley.
Yep.
Dropped Jaden Brayley and picked up Corey Horsburgh again. And it was fucking making me dizzy what you were doing there. And you've completely toggle fucked yourself, haven't you?
Well, what happened was I put the waiver claim in, forgot about it, and thought that I'd cancelled it. Didn't cancel it. Had a look at my team and AFB sitting in there, and I'm like, oh well, I should have bloody grabbed Jaden Brayley. So I saw him on the waivers. I put a waiver in for him, and Jesus. then I.
You've turned yourself
reconsidered once again, and I went back to him, and I should have just picked and sticked.
That is a classic toggle fuck, people.
Yeah.
That is a classic one. In the dictionary, that's exactly that. So well, I was like, what the hell's
happening? On the plus side?
Because I wanted AFB, and I'm like, what's he doing? Okay, yep, he's dropped him. Thank you. I'll take him.
Yeah, I kind of went around in circles, and my team didn't end up changing at all.
No, and now Horsburgh was not in there at all.
Yeah, well, I actually carried the zero last round, so it'll be interesting to see whether I get pinged for it this round.
Classic. Couldn't have happened to a better bloke, to be honest. Let's get in the next game. Panthers, Sharks, what a fucking game this is going to be. Connor Tracy, he's the big one. He's probably number one waiver for me in round 19. What's your thoughts?
Mm. He'd be up there for sure. I think, look, wherever he plays phenomenally. He plays a little bit, I reckon he plays a bit better on the left. And I haven't seen him play wing on the right before. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes there. But yeah, like we mentioned at the start, they do a lot of their attack through those two edge spots with Bulatalo and Sione Katoa. They're the two leading try scorers in the club. So it kind of goes without saying.
And also his base is really sexy. So not only are you going to get – he's in prime real estate on that right edge. You know, Katoa's been shooting the lights out, but obviously you're going to get that base that goes along with it. And we've talked again and again about the Sharks' strength of schedule coming into your Supercoach finals. It is amazing. It's sexy as fuck. So whenever there's a Sharks attacking player that comes up and is available on waivers – they have to be number one. It's as simple as that. You want them in your team.
No, exactly. And when it's a season-ending injury to a guy who's in prime real estate, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, crazy. So if you're sitting tippy-top of the waiver wire priority, thanks for coming, you've got Connor Tracy. Obviously not a great matchup against the Panthers, but you're picking him up for the run home. That's why you want
exactly.
him.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, let's get in the next game. Rabbitohs v. Storm. Plenty of movement here. We've got Tyrone Wishart playing wing now.
It just goes to show how shallow they are in those outside backs.
Mate, in a bit of fucking trouble here, the Storm.
But surely you play Yong Tonomato.
Sorry,
Onomatopoeia or whatever his name is.
Pretty sure Yong, that's not right.
Tonomapia. Whatever it is, you know the guy I'm talking about.
He played
at the club for about two seasons, and then he moved up to Titans, and now he's moved back down. Hasn't played a game for the Storm, as far as I'm aware, since coming back. And look, I think he's a specialist fullback, but he's played a fair bit of wing. So, look, I would put him in ahead of Wishart and carry Wishart on the bench rather than having Anderson there. But
answer me this: obviously, Irimea played right wing last week. Does that mean Tyrone Wishart plays left wing this week?
I mean, I'm going to do it on the back of Olam is named at four, Wishart's named at five.
Oh, that never means anything.
I know. Look, based on where Irimea has played in the past and the fact that he's formed some level of combination with Savé, I mean, they'll most likely put Wishart on the left end.
So that's interesting. He's a plug and play for me then, because the Rabbitohs have conceded more tries to left wingers than any other club this year. So I actually like both left wingers to score a try in this game. So I'm putting a nice little ATS on Alex Johnston and Tyrone Wishart to score just Just that's what the stats are telling me. So yeah. I've got to back the stats. So I don't mind him as a little plug and play this week. Other than that, Jed Cartwright for the Rabbitohs. He's obviously going to be playing right center for the Bunnies. He is 2RF for CTW. Oh, yeah. You'd think so. You'd think you'd be getting 40 out of him straight up. Mm. It is with Littrell in the side, the right edge is alive. You know, like when Littrell isn't in the side, it's all left. So yeah. I don't mind him, especially in the next few games. The Bunnies still have a favorable matchup. Like after the Storm, just get it up. Who have they got? They've got the Storm this week. Then they go Sharks, Warriors, Bunnies. Sharks, Warriors, Eels. Then it goes hard, Panthers, Cats. So they've got a couple of good games in them. So not a terrible matchup. I mean, in all honesty, the fucking Storm aren't looking great at all. And I'll be putting a little bit of money on the Bunnies to win this game 1-12 just because I think they've got the red hot hand at the moment and the Storm are wobbling.
I'll tell you what, I've got three rules in life. Never bet on the Dragons, never bet on the Tigers, and never bet against the Storm.
I've made some money betting against the Storm last couple of rounds. Thank you very much. Baby. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I've lost a little bit of money in my time betting against the Storm, so I'll probably sit this one out.
But, that's why I never text you for tips, pal.
I had a really good multi that included Pappy to score and Storm to win, but because Pappy got the injury in the first half, got paid out. So yeah, a couple hundred bucks there. It was pretty good.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Looking in this team, yeah, Tyron Wishart's worth a plug and play. Iremia, possibly as well, coming up against Alex Johnston potentially. I'm not a big fan of Jackson Paulo. Is that a Tass if he's available? And
Tass is nice on that left edge there. He's got a nice base behind him as well. I think he's definitely worth a pickup. The other guy I like is Tevita Totola. The last two or three rounds, Tevita Totola, I've been watching him closely. His late footwork at the line is one of the best in the business. And he's quietly been going unnoticed with the workload that he's taken upon himself. He's gone, say, 42 in round 14. Then he's gone 53, 52, 71, 102. Obviously, with a couple of tries in the last couple of games. But, you know, averaging 25 tackles. But his runs, you know, he's getting up around that 16, 17 runs. Last round, he made 32 points just in H8s.
Yeah. And look, he's under 30% owned. So he's definitely going to be someone who's going to be wavered as well this round, just because, look, coming off 102, everyone's going to be looking at him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely think he's worth a pickup. He's been playing good minutes as well. Last three rounds, he's gone 54 minutes, 56 minutes, and then 61 minutes last weekend. So, yeah, big fan of Junior there. Love him. Get him up here. I mean, we've said this a million times, Wook, front row forwards that can get you 50-plus, where are they? Now, if they're fucking hard to find. And I think Tevita, the way he's playing at the moment, he'll get you 50 easy.
Yeah. One of the other talking points from the round just gone was Lachlan Ilias scoring 33 points, including a try.
Yep.
That's up there with one of the best.
He's a big stay away, isn't he? Seriously, he should be owned by nobody.
Yes, exactly right.
Well, let's get into the Dogs-Titans game. So a few guys here to talk about. Big shake-up with the Titans. Obviously, we saw that the entire left edge for the Titans, it was a whole new look edge there with Tanner Boyd and David Fifita linking up like they have been in the juniors, which was good to see. I thought they both played really well. Playing with a half that knows how to use Fifita was really good to see as well. I thought JoJo Fifita was pretty strong. Really good base, obviously playing on that edge as well is nice. So I don't mind JoJo Fifita and Tanner Boyd as a plug and play this week. Just be wary with Tanner Boyd that we've got Jaden Campbell in the reserves. He's actually on the bench. So
Yeah.
Eventually, he'll come in, play fullback, push Brimo into the halves, and then you would think Tanner Boyd would go to the bench.
Or potentially spell Booth. And Aaron Clark played really well in the lock position. So
84 points.
Clark might actually come in. Like, he actually looked like in actual NRL, he looked a lot better than I've seen him at dummy half.
Pretty sure I've said this. He's the 13. I don't know why the fuck they had him at 9. But speaking of those two, Aaron Booth, Aaron Clark, both pickups, I think, at the booking spot. I think Aaron Booth is a crafty number 9 with the minutes he was getting. I think he got about 58 minutes from memory, and Aaron Clark got around the same. So with those type of minutes, I don't mind those two as a pickup. Obviously, Hooker is very shallow. There'll be plenty of guys out there running AEs or running with guys that are getting sub 45 points. So Boothie or Aaron Clark, I love that. Very interested with Aaron Clark as well. Coming off the bench, running at tied defenders. Let me get his fucking stats up, but he absolutely nailed it on the weekend. Like I said, he got 84 points.
84 from 58 minutes. So
58 minutes, nice.
Good little plenty
of runs. I think he had a fucking truckload of tackle breaks. Let me just get it up. He had 30 tackles. Yeah, 9 tackle breaks. So 18 points in tackle breaks. Had 2 offloads, a line break, and 11 runs. Thanks for coming. Yeah. I do like him. I do like him coming off the bench playing that 13. That's beautiful.
And that and what you just mentioned there, that's a repeatable performance.
Oh, that's like, just
there's nothing there like a line break try and all that sort of stuff. He's got one line break in there.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm looking at him more than I was before.
The other guy that sort of you brought my attention to is Declan Casey, playing left center for the Dogs. Doesn't pass the ball, but that's good for Supercoach. I think he'll find some success on
coming
this.
Off probably the worst rookie game of all time.
Yep, and then he bounced back
mm-hmm. With a lot of confidence, and I think he played really well.
Bloody oath. So you can fire him up. Great plug and play this week up against the Titans. The Titans, their edges. The further you go out towards the sideline, the worse they get Supercoach-wise. Mm-hmm. So Declan Casey with that show and go. I love him. Great ATS as well this week for the Dogs. Time. So fire him up. That's about it for that game.
I don't mind a bit of Braden Burns as well.
You do like Braden Burns. You do. I don't, but... Yeah.
Oh, it's purely the matchup. Like it's a burn and turn situation because you're not going to be using him outside of this. But Titans are one of the out of form teams when it comes to defending Supercoach points.
I just don't like the edge that he plays on.
Yeah.
The right, you want to be in that left outside Birdo.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
That's the edge you want, baby. All right, last game of the round, and it's an absolute blockbuster. Should be a close one. Cowboys v Tigers. 13-plus written all over it, this one. Who cares about the Tigers, to be honest? Actually, no, Jackson Hastings at 13. That was fantastic. Really good play.
And Dewey in the halves as well.
It worked.
He kind of had a commanding role.
It worked.
I felt like Brooks almost played less as a playmaker than Hastings did at lock.
Yeah, I think you're happy.
I think it worked.
Yeah, I think you're happy. If you own Brooks, Dewey, or Hastings, I think you're happy all round. I think it worked, and I think this is how they play going forward. Dewey's just an absolute fucking weapon. He looked amazing, and Jackson Hastings is a big enough body to play 13, but also now you've got that link role in the back, and he was linking up with Dewey nicely as well.
A couple of good kicks as well, good attacking kicks.
Big time, just offering more in attack to Tigers. So, yeah, look, if you've got Jackson Hastings, I think you're going to see more of those sort of 60, 65-plus games for him out of 13. And nothing changed for Joe Offengawi moving from 13 to 10. He just did more of what he's been doing, and that's just everything.
Yeah, just beast moding.
Just all the defense, all Tigers defense. Just it's him. It's all him. Now for the Cowboys, we talked about Kyle Phelps. He was surprisingly low in ownership last week. He's at about 36% now. You need to get him for this run home. just off the top of my head, it's either he's got the second best run for right wings or the first. It's one
of those. It was the best. I'll just confer with the Oracle, and it is
Stacey the sex bot, stat bot.
It is still the best. So he's on he's at the same level as Simonson, but they are quite clear.
Yeah, that's it. Because not many teams are dominant on their right edge, and obviously the Cowboys are. So you'll want Felty in your team. The other guy, Leilua at prop is interesting.
Oh, he's been hard to handle, and looked at it, front row forward's been a position that they've struggled to nail down. So makes a bit of sense for me.
He's owned by a fair bit, 66%. I do like the Chad as a plug and play. We'll talk about more about him in the matchups podcast and where the matchups lie for him. But the Tigers do defend right halves pretty poorly, so I don't mind him to get about that 55 or maybe even a 60-point game. So if you're struggling in the halfback spot, I don't mind him as a play this week.
Nice.
Anything else, mate?
I mean, everyone knows about Reece Robson, everyone knows about Dearden. Hiku is an interesting one. He's played quite well the last couple of rounds. But yeah, I'll just have a quick look at what his ownership is because, he really, really played well the last few weeks. So
59.5,
but probably not available in most leagues.
No. Nah. But, yeah, I do like him, yeah. And obviously playing out in that right edge, that's tasty as well.
Yeah.
All right, bro, let's get into the happy ending.
You want happy ending?
I got a builder.
Let me break it down for you so you understand. I'll hold your hand like a small child. Oh, my God. Fuck yeah.
We're going to package it all up, put a little nice little bow on it for you here. So we'll go through each position and throw out the names that we've covered when we went through each game. Hooker, Aaron Booth, Aaron Clark, and then Tyron Wishart as a plug and play. He's also available at 5'8", but just for this week because of the matchup up against the Bunnies, that's really nice. Anyone else at the hooker spot that I've missed?
Like we said before, guys like Turpin have come in. He's not going to be getting the minutes.
No, super coach irrelevant. Front row forward, I think it's a clear as day this one. Tevita Totola and Matt Lodge, both of them worth a waiver. Both of them in for extended minutes, especially Matt Lodge. And the thing with Matt Lodge, people give him shit. He's a fantastic front rower.
He's a great front rower.
What a pickup for the Roosters. $100,000 for the rest of the year. What a pickup.
Yeah. Just heads in the game when it comes to business decisions. You got to have the emotions out the door when it comes to those sort of things.
Yeah. It's worked out perfectly for the Roosters. I mean,
he's a terrible human being, but he's a fantastic front row.
Yeah. You don't pay him to be a fantastic human, do you?
No, exactly.
Make your runs, make your tackles, be an enforcer. And that's what he is. I mean, like I said, Jared Warrior Hargraves and Matt Lodge, is there a scarier front row pairing? It's pretty fucking dominant. All right, let's look at the two RFs. We've got Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Andrew Davey. We talked a lot about him, and Jed Cartwright, who's also available at CTW. Anyone else that you like there?
There is actually one more.
Talk to me, Goose.
So, yep. Dalfinukin's, he's obviously locked down that lock spot.
Yep.
He's been getting some decent minutes. So, last round, he got 65 minutes. He punched out 58 points. So,
ooh, yeah, look, big minutes. That's nice.
He's got a three-round average of 50, but he's only really just come back from injury. So, yeah, he's definitely someone that I'd be looking at bringing in if you're a bit light on in the Taref spot. Unfortunately, he didn't end up getting the front row forward duel.
Yeah, it's a kick in the dick.
It's one of the ones where he's got that lock spot. It's kind of hurting McInnes a little bit. So McInnes owners are probably hoping for him to go down for another injury. But, yeah, he's...
Yeah, no, I do like him. He gets through plenty of work, plenty of base. He's involved heavily in every game that he's not injured in.
Yes.
Which is maybe 50% of the game he's played. So it is buyer beware there. He could be knocked out the next couple of games.
100%.
All right, let's get into halfback. Very light here. We like the Chad as a plug and play. Tanner Boyd also, but buyer beware with Tanner Boyd. Obviously, with Jaden Campbell on the bench, we don't know what's going to happen there. 5'8", Connor Tracy's the big one, also available at CTW. He's the main one. Then I'd probably go Kieran Foran up against the Dragons.
I'll go back a step. Mm-hmm. There is one guy that I reckon people should be looking at bringing in, and Jake Averillo.
Massive.
37% owned. He fills the halfback and 5'8 spot. Coming off of 63, and his 5-round average is 55. Yeah, he's been scoring tries like they're going out of fashion.
He has to.
Yeah. And look.
Like, he scored a try in round 16. Guess what he scored?
Oh, yeah. No, he scored
27 with a try.
His backup play is insane.
Yep. Yeah, you have to be confident that he's going to score a try. But, yeah, I don't mind him on your bench. Cycle him through with a matchup, especially, he is available, halfback 5'8", so that is him.
The one concern is if you are holding him on your bench as like a backup half, I wouldn't recommend doing that just because when he doesn't score those tries, he'll be a bit of an AE nightmare for when you're looping. So just buyer beware on him.
Yep, for sure. And then obviously we had Dejan Arce, CHT, Fennell Brown. None of those guys really tickle my fancy. I think the big ones there, Connor Tracy and Kieran Foran. CTW, plenty of guys here. Jason Saab needs to be picked up. Jojo Fifita, Isaiah Tass. They're probably the long-term plays here. Then your plug and plays, Paul Momorowski, Jordan Pereira, Will Pinicini, Declan Casey, Nick Kotrick, and like you said earlier, Matt Ikavalu, maybe a stash there as well. Anyone I missed there?
Tuopolotu,
yep,
and Cooler as well.
Yeah, I've got Cooler down for fullback.
Oh yeah, okay. And maybe Philip Sammy as well. So he's been punching out some decent scores of late. So, outside of that, yeah, not really tickling my fancy of many.
Yep, nice. And then fullback, yeah. We've got Canicola there. Great matchup this week. Cody Ramsey also with a really good matchup. He's a little bit more owned than 35. I think it was like 39%. But I do like him. Fuck, he's got some pace to burn. And once he gets some space with that right foot step of his, he's gone. Jaden Campbell's the big one. If he's available, get him in because I do like the Titans run in the finals.
Yeah, and he's only going to be on the bench for one or two games to get back in the swing of things. So, yeah, he's definitely one I'd be looking at.
Yep, big time. All right, so just to tidy all of that up, top plug and plays, Will Pennicini versus the Broncos, Jordan Pereira versus the Eels, Paul Momorowski versus the Knights, Cody Ramsey versus the Manly Seagulls, Tolatau Kola versus the Dragons, Tyrone Wishart versus the Bunnies, Kieran Foran versus the Dragons, Declan Casey versus the Titans, Jojo Fifita versus the Dogs, and the Chad versus the Tigers. If you want a top three out of that, we've gone Pereira, Kola, and Casey as our top three plug and plays. Now, our claim team of the week for round 19 at hooker, we've got Aaron Booth. At front row four, we've got Tevita Totola. 2RF, we've got Andrew Davey. At halfback, we've got the Chad. 5'8", Connor Tracy, of course. CTW, Jason Saab. And fullback, Jaden Campbell.
And just to make sure everyone's aware that Connor Tracy, you can play in and use CTW as well.
Yummy.
Delish.
All right, bro, let's get this bad boy out so everyone can throw it in their lugs before they put their waivers in and when they go Betty Boys. So we'll talk to you soon on the Matchups podcast, but that's it, bro.
Sounds like the plan.
Done. Talk to you soon. All right.
Catches.
You can take me now. I've seen it all.
Get that into you.
Catcher.